Welcome back to The Art of Travel. Today's episode features Laura Ariard-Dubray, who is the founder and creative director of The Webster. The Webster is a multi-brand shop known for its high-concept design and inventory of the best designers in the world, from Chanel to Balenciaga to Bottega Veneta and The Row. Laura grew up in Cognac, France, and moved to Paris to work in fashion merchandising, working under Nicolas Ghesquiere at Balenciaga and Yves Saint Laurent under Stefano Pallotti. In this conversation, Laura shares how travel has played a huge role in both her professional and personal life. From the weekend trip to Miami that prompted the creation of the Webster, to trips around the world which inspired the design of the store and the collections of her clothing line, LHD. Laura also shares how art and design has played a huge role in the artistic direction of the shop, and how they're navigating retail in a post-pandemic world. Here's Laura on the line. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Art of Travel podcast. I know that you are incredibly well-traveled, and I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be on the show as well.
And, you know, usually this time of year is Fashion Week. Does it feel very strange to not be in Paris right now?
Yes. Yes, definitely. You know, it feels, very strange, and I hope it's going to, you know, I'm going to be able to, you know, travel again, and I hope the fashion weeks are going to be, able to happen again. You know, maybe not as crazy and as frantic as it, you know, used to be, but for sure I'm missing, you know, the actual, experience of being physically present and meeting everybody and, you know, being with everyone and, you know, feeling the trends and, you know, and having all the personal experience I'm missing.
You run one of the best retail concepts in the world, I think. What has this fashion week been like for you? Are you going to market?
I'm doing everything remotely. Everything, yeah. And now, by now also, like, all of the brands have found their, you know, best way to, work and the best way to show the collections. And also, like, we develop, you know, relationships with, each teams. And, so we're making the best out of it, but everything is still remote for now.
And I know that you run pretty much everything on the Webster. Do you do the buying as well, or what does your role look like nowadays?
Yes, of course. I have a wonderful team. I'm so proud and so blessed and grateful for, you know, the amazing, amazing people I collaborate, with daily. So I have a wonderful team, but yes, I supervise all of the buying and the curation. The selection is really key, what the Webster, is about and what the Webster stands for. And especially right now, I think, you know, everybody's so overwhelmed. We're bombarded by informations constantly and with, you know, between the online and the social media and all of that. And the there's no more seasons.
Yeah.
it's constantly. And that was also like, that's something that I'm hoping, with everything that happened in the past year, is to try to, you know, go back into a more sustainable calendar. But, you know, like, right now having, you know, the Webster curation makes so much sense with, you know, everything that is happening and the Webster point of view.
And did you have to shift your retail focus at this time? Like, did you guys veer more into homewear, loungewear, or objects?
You know, not really. We had launched the Webster Home prior to the lockdown, and so we're continuing and we're doing really well. What we did, we launched actually the Webster Beauty, recently in the past year, and this is actually amazing and something growing, and I think the, you know, do it at home, do it yourself. DIY, you know, like, is really working, and our clients are really resonating with, you know, like, the at-home spa kind of experience. And in general, We have the loungewear, but you know, we see also, I think, you know, we're kind of tired of being in our sweatpants. We want to show our legs. We want mini skirts.
We've gone past the sweatpant phase.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, like it's a mix of course, continuing, you know, like the comfortable, you know, outfits, but, you know, wanting also the mini skirts and the shorts and showing the legs and, you know, and I'm ready for high heels.
Yes, yes, me too. Though I'm not certain I'll be able to walk in them after a year off.
No, I know. Maybe it's like, you know, like the high heels with a pair of flats, you know, in the bag, you know, very handy.
Before we dive right in, I would love to know a little bit about your background and where you're from and where you grew up.
So in case you haven't realized with my very discreet French accent, I'm French. I grew up in France. I grew up actually in a place called Cognac, which is in the southwest of France, which is actually where Cognac, the brandy, is made. And that's what, you know, my family is doing. And then we moved to Paris when I was a teenager. And from there, I moved to New York, and I went, you know, I studied in France. I went to university and studied economics, business, and Mandarin Chinese language, culture and civilization. And then I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York, and I studied merchandising, fashion merchandising. And from there, I started working at Balenciaga with Nicolas Ghesquier as a merchandiser, and then at Saint Laurent with Stefano Pilati. And so from New York back to Paris, and then back again in the United States for the Webster.
That's incredible. And what was it like being able to work with such incredibly prestigious brands?
It was amazing. I mean, I learned so much, you know, from the creativity, of course, to the, you know, wonderful heritage of such fabulous fashion houses, to, you know, working with all the different teams, to, you know, partnering between the, you know, creative studio and the stores and the production and the, you know, PR and communications, and, you know, like seeing also like how, you know, working with worldwide, you know, companies also, and having the feedbacks from all the different markets. And I mean, I learned so much, and I learned from the best, and it was so enriching. And that's what, you know, also gave me some wings to be able to fly on my own and start my own business. But like I said, like I really didn't have any retail background, you know, like before and foremost, I'm a merchandiser, and I often joke around saying, like, even now I don't know anything about retail. Because that's not, you know, what I do, and that's not what we do. We do it differently. You know, when we first opened stores in, like, the Webster in Miami, where that's the name, actually the name of the Webster comes from the building. The original was the Webster Hotel from the 30s, built by Henry Hauhauser. And it was the time where the headlines were "Retail is dead," because everything was going online. So we're doing it differently. You know, we're doing it as, you know, like a safe haven, like it's your...
And I'm so curious, what was the retail landscape like when you opened the Webster? Was this during a time when the shift was happening, or had the shift already happened to digital?
It was, yes, it was like really starting. It was, the focus was definitely for online already at the time. And, you know, I opened temporary stores down the street because the renovations of the, you know, actual flagship was taking longer. And then when I opened, you know, this was 2008, 2009. And then when I finally opened, it was the, you know, last biggest recession. So it was, you know, like at the time when, you know, retail was really hit, in general, on top of, you know, like the shift for online, you know, like our answer as, you know, like being a safe haven, as being a place where time stops, as being a place where, you know, it feels very residential, where you have a mix of, you know, art and, vintage furniture and, you know, like, actual original vintage wallpapers. So you feel like you're at your best friend's house, or you're at your, you know, you're going through your gigantic closet and you can remove your shoes and, you know, walk around on the lush, you know, carpet and come for an hour, you know, for a breather, or spend the entire day and have fun trying everything on.
What was the creative process like building the Webster in Miami?
Being very inspired by, you know, the surroundings with this unique architecture, you know, this Caribbean Art Deco that is unique in the world. You know, like the place where you have, you know, the most Art Deco architecture in the world, and this Caribbean with all the pastel colors, and also being super rare of being such an influential city, such a financial hub, you know, on the beach, on the water, and being influenced by the sunshine and being influenced by the palm trees and the, you know, like all the different, you know, amazing cultures, being so close to South America and Latin America, and at the same time being so close to New York. And so it's really embracing the city, the culture. And it was, you know, right after Art Basel started in Miami. So it was also bringing all, you know, like all the most influential people in the art world, and hotels were starting to be, you know, Miami has had its ups and downs, and hotels were starting to be, so there was the cool crowd, you know, coming back, and there was no, you know, compared to what it is right now, but at the time there was like a few, no luxury, and still no luxury right now in South Beach. There was a few stores, and but everything was happening, you know, in the northern part of, you know, Miami in terms of fashion shopping.
Yeah, like at Bell Harbor.
Exactly, Bell Harbor Shops, exactly, where now we have a Webster there as well. So, you know, it was, you know, before, you know, and now like Miami is transformed, and there's so many wonderful, you know, shopping opportunities and so many amazing restaurants and so many wonderful hotels that opened. And it's been quite a ride, and so amazing to see how, you know, Miami has grown for the best.
What was Miami like in 2008? Because I think now, with how huge and expanded Art Basel Miami has become, it's so clear that there's like it's a major cultural hub. But was that very evident to you when you arrived in the years before you opened the store? Or did it feel sort of like there was something missing and that you could be a part of cultivating that piece that's missing?
You know, what the brands, you know, have told me, and I know from the first visits that I had, you know, like with the fashion brands, and when I was talking about Miami, and especially in Europe, you know, like apart from the art world community, and it was just the first years of Art Basel, you know, like Miami was not, you know, like we were, you know, far from, you know, the Madonna years and the Gianni Versace years of, you know, Miami, you know, like, and people were thinking that it was either for, you know, people elsewhere were thinking it was like, super tacky, or it was only for old people, or it was only, you know, like for the beach, but, you know, like didn't know how much of a influential, town. And we can see like with like the combination of fashion and the art world. But I fell in love. I totally fell in love with Miami, and I still love it so much. but I love the melting pot, also, you know, which I think is extremely creative and enriching. And this was definitely the case already at the time.
Did you help design the storefront? Because the Miami Webster is absolutely iconic. The moment you step in, you feel like you are transported into many different stimulations.
Yes, totally. So it was, definitely came from the, our hearts and it felt like, like a home and everything. I mean, now, if you look at my own house, I have some of the same furniture and now throughout all of the different Websters, between the combination of the vintage pieces, everything is extremely, there's some love in everything we select and everything we pick and each time making it site specific, so it's a continuation with the same DNA, but it evolves also of where it is from the, our latest flagship in Los Angeles, has been designed from A to Z by Sir David Ajayi. And this is the Webster 2.0, the Webster spaceship. But it has so much of a continuation from our flagship in South Beach.
And the Webster is really iconic for its resort wear. There's always this holiday and jet set feel infused into the merchandising and the inventory you have in the store. How does travel inspire your selection?
Travel inspire every minute of my life. I think being French, growing up in France, having the French heritage, having the French culture, having this experience in some of the most, prestigious established fashion houses with the history as a background. And then having, lived and studied in New York and then studied fashion in New York and then moving to Miami, this is already a travel. It's already a trip by itself, France to Miami via New York and being influenced by all of the, people I met and the wonderful, relationships that I developed, locally and from people coming from everywhere in the world. I was also based in Miami at the time. So it was very interesting to come from Miami, especially when it was winter and coming from my eyes full of sunshine, full of this pastel architecture, full of, we wanted colors, prints, high heels, and it was winter in Paris and people were wearing sneakers and raincoats and coats. And, it was fully suntan with, my hair being, blonde, sun-kissed, sun-bleached, exactly. But it was very good because without, forgetting my roots either. And that was the combo that made it, very special because then what I was selecting was completely different from anyone, selecting for other places. So even I've had some brands coming to the store and buying things from their own brands because they haven't found it anywhere else,
Yeah, I've noticed that about the Webster too, is that you guys you have such an adventurous and bold buy. And I always find pieces that I don't ever see in other stores, which I think is incredible.
Yes, and that's what's most important is the point of view. It's having this strong point of view, not to be boring, but at the same time having timeless pieces, which is super important. It's not being avant-garde for being avant-garde. It's not picking the colors that nobody wants to have something exclusive. It's about truly believing in it and loving it and embracing it. And that's what also, that's how we managed to develop the, real relationship with all of the brands because we stood up for, our assortment, our creation for our clients, and we're recruiting also, clients for, brands because some of our clients would have a vision of how some brand would look like, and then they would discover it with a different angle at the Webster.
Wow, that's really cool. And what role does art and design play in the Webster DNA?
It's the roots, the starting point. being, you know, like from, you know, like, starting in a building from, you know, the 30s, an architecture, you know, historic architecture unique in the world, to, you know, Art Basel, to, you know, like our first clientele were, you know, is, you know, artists and, you know, curators and galleries, and they're the ones who, you know, came from everywhere in the world and spread the word, everywhere, you know, and like for me, even like my personal life, my husband and the father of my children, is an artist. So, you know, we've always, and we have, you know, like all our artist friends, you know, whom, you know, like we have a representation, you know, of them in all of our locations as, you know, Lucky Charms and design, you know, we have real furniture, you know, real furniture from designers, you know, like it's not like copies or it's not, you know, like it's, everything is real, you know, and like you would have in your own, you know, house. So it's, I think what's, you know, makes the difference. And also that's what makes you want to spend time, you know, and enjoy, because you can see, you know, like through different angles, you know, we've had like lots of different, you know, shows and, you know, like an artist, you know, collaborations. And so it's totally part of our DNA.
Yeah. And the objects and the clothing and everything else informs one another. And it really does feel like you're walking through a gallery when you visit the store.
Exactly.
And how many stores does the Webster have now?
So now we have, so we started with the Webster in South Beach. So then again, what I said is where the name comes from the building. So the Webster Hotel from the 30s. And from there, we opened in Bal Harbour Shops, which is in the northern part of Miami. And then we opened in Houston in Texas. Then we opened in South Coast Plaza in Orange County on the West Coast. That was our first West Coast adventure. Then we opened in New York, in Soho. So like our second flagship, which is another historical building. It's a cast iron building on Green Street, which, you know, Green Street. And I found this out when I was at the city, you know, trying to, you know, have the facade approved and all of that, is that, you know, Green Street is the most pristine cast iron building, street in the world. So, you know, like another flagship to, our LA, flagship by Sir David Ajay, which is a, you know, world renowned, amazing architect who, you know, did the Smithsonian Museum in the African American, history, museum in, Washington. And he was, you know, like he had never done a project in California. So it's also a masterpiece. To opening our, you know, last little small nook, but super precious, like a little jewel box. We open, and talking about travel, we open at the Rosewood Miramar Resort in Montecito. So now we have three locations on the West Coast. And then we have also an outlet in Florida, in Sawgrass. We have 8 locations.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I know that you recently relocated to LA.
Yes.
What inspired that move?
You know, before and foremost, my husband is from Northern California, and it's been years that he's been brainwashing me. and, you know, it didn't really make sense so far because, you know, I was my, you know, even though we opened, you know, South Coast Plaza.
Which is beautiful, by the way. My family is from Orange County, so it's such a pleasure to be able to visit the Webster every time I come home to visit my parents.
Oh, nice. Thank you. I love to go there as well. I always say it's like Pleasantville, you know, like I like it's such a, you know, amazing, you know, area. And I love, you know, the space and the energy. And it's so beautiful. And do like a little trip to, you know, Laguna Beach or
Newport
Beach. You know, this was being French, you know, like I feel it's very, you know, exotic and exciting, and beautiful. you know, our focus was more on the East Coast, and we had Houston also in Texas, but the you know, our two flagships were on the East Coast. So for years, you know, I moved to Miami, I opened Miami, then I moved to New York, I opened New York. And it's very important also for me to be where we open flagship stores, because it's super important to understand the market, to understand the clientele, to understand the needs. And I think that's what made a huge impact on the creation, to go back to what we were saying earlier with me living in Miami. And now, so knowing that we had Webster in Los Angeles in the making, there was a good reason for finally moving here. And now we have three stores on the West Coast. So the West Coast is actually very strong. And even like recently, when South Beach has always been our number one historic, location, you know, LA became, our number one also at some point, even before South Beach. So, you know, there's definitely a very strong, not only personal, but professional reason for me to be on the West Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you liked the transition of moving out to the West Coast?
Yes. And, you know, actually, like, not having to travel as much helped me, settle and helped me, ground myself here in Los Angeles and enjoy the quality of life and the weather. And so I'm super happy.
And is the merchandising very different, or the inventory different, from South Beach to LA? How would you explain the difference?
So we definitely want some consistency, and it's very important because of the point of view of the Webster and with, the relationship with all our brands, where we build very long-term relationships. But for sure, each store is, each location is site specific. And, it's never like very often, the selection that we had planned for the beginning at the opening, it evolves season after season. The more we learn about our clientele, the more we learn about, the area, the more we learn about, the habits and the styles, but we keep some, consistency, which is very important.
How do you create these little on-site nuances between each location? Is it with like the type of art that you purchase? Is it the programming?
So the programming, when we have like big launches, it happens that some of them are itinerary. Either like it's a big launch that happens at several locations at the same time, or it's like an itinerary, exhibition that we go to another one. But most of the time it's, really a launch that is specific to one area. And all of them are very different, because also, depending if it's a flagship or depending if it's in the shopping environment, some locations don't have outside windows, display windows. Some of them, have display windows. There's also like lots of events that are happening in specific locations, like some of our locations where the Super Bowl happened, and some of them never, experienced the Super Bowl. Some of them, like South Coast Plaza, are very influenced by, Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year's, where our other locations are not influenced as much. Some locations, have, you name it, but all of them are very, very different. And also the calendar of, where clients would be, some places summers are stronger, some places is more like in between seasons, or, and it's affected by weather also. Like the only place where really we have outerwear and coats and everything is New York.
New York.
All of our other locations. And now it's going to be Toronto, because we're opening in Toronto this summer. It's our first international opening. So this is super exciting. And yes, we're going to have lots of outerwear and, puffer jackets. But I have to say, actually, right now, like, we have puffer jackets coming for South Beach, even if it's to put on top of bikinis.
Well, people need a place to buy good outerwear in Miami in case they're heading to a colder climate. So exactly. That makes total sense.
Exactly, exactly. But maybe you will have it in like pink or, you know, like a bright blue or yellow where you would have more toned down versions in New York or, you know, like some locations, you know, like clients come and get like a full wardrobe. Some locations is like more like coming more frequently, but like for, you know, like, you know, a few items at a time. So it's so, so exciting and so enriching to, you know, understand the different, you know, locations. And, but all of them have art. All of them have the actual vintage wallpapers because it's part of our DNA, and that's what brings also this authenticity feel, because it's real original, you know, wallpapers that have not been reproduced. And some of, you know, like all of them, we have the, you know, like our consistent, you know, brass railings. We have our consistent pink somewhere, you know, from our mascot. Yes.
And you told me too that you developed a fragrance exclusively for the Webster as well.
Yes, which is, you know, so important, because before working in fashion, I actually wanted to be a nose, and I have a very acute and developed sense of smell. And, so for me, it was so important. It was like the first step was, you know, like the finding the building, the Webster. So that's where the name comes from. And then it was our logo, our flamingo, designed by Michael Roberts. And then it was the scent. And the scent I developed with a wonderful nose called Elisabeth de Fedeau. And I wanted, you know, like a orange blossom because of Florida being the orange state. But I wanted a tropical one. And so we worked together on this original, amazing take on orange blossom that you can, you know, smell in all of our locations. And we have the room spray, the hand cream, especially these days with all the, you know, sanitizers and washing our hands so frequently. You know, I feel like hand creams are hand balm. You know, our handbags are very helpful.
Yeah, they've become even more essential.
Yes, and the and candles. And then I develop another scent, another candle, another room spray, inspired by Soho, inspired by what we could, you know, fantasize about, you know, Basquiat studio or Andy Warhol's factory. So much like a bit more smoky and, you know, and masculine. Scent. And now I've developed another one, you know, thinking of Los Angeles and thinking of like parties in the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah. What does that scent smell like?
Like the forbidden fruit.
And I think that's kind of amazing. You're developing all of these fragrances because right now, I mean, fragrance is one of the things that provokes the strongest sense of memory, and I'm sure it's a great way to armchair travel.
For me, I mean, it's you know, scent and fragrances, and you know, like it transports me. You know, like it's like in my memory, and right away, like it brings me somewhere.
Yeah, I love that. And I would love for you to tell me a little bit about your clothing brand, LHD.
So LHD are my initials. Much easier to pronounce than Laure Herriard Dubreuil. And you know, it came from, you know, so I love wearing, you know, prints and colors and bold, you know, shapes. And people were always asking me when I was going to do my own brand and being influenced by, you know, Miami. And I love, like I said, travel and like the inspirations that you get from, you know, all travel. So I started my own line, and each season is inspired by a location, but it's also like mostly what you would pack to go there more than what you would bring back. So it's like easy cotton, silk, you know, easy dresses that you can wear from morning to evening, that you can wear to go to the beach, that you can, or you can wear to, you know, like someone's wedding, and, you know, it's very on the go.
Yeah, I love that. And things that I assume mix well together as well.
Exactly. and are fun, are, you know, witty and bold, and you can tone down, you can also, or you can go crazy with, you know, like, adding more layers and also flattering, you know, like pieces that make you feel good and happy.
And what are some destinations your collections have been inspired by?
So the first collection was Miami, of course. And then from there, you know, like it's destinations that are very important to me, places I love, places I spend a lot of time. So from Miami to Saint-Tropez, where my godmother has a house, where I used to go as a child, to Bonifacio in Corsica, where we have, my parents have a family house, where we spend all the summers, to Big Sur, where, you know, my Northern Californian husband brought me at the beginning of our relationships, and I fell in love with Big Sur. That I think is, like, you know, one of a kind place in the world.
Yeah. What was the Big Sur collection like?
You know, there was like a lot of naked bodies influenced by Esalen, you know, like Esalen, the place where you have, you know, naked bodies, prints, and to blueberries, you know, prints, to, you know, like the leaves.
That's really beautiful. That's actually not what I had expected to hear when you said that you designed a collection inspired by Big Sur. I was like thinking of knits, but I love that you really honed in on these very micro details of Big Sur. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, like from knowing also like in Ventana, like you have a pool that is clothing optional. So it's like a very, you know, like hippie, neo-hippie, you know.
Yeah, I think I need your itinerary in Big Sur because I am always overclothed when I head there. But I really like this version where there's just liberation and naked bodies everywhere.
Exactly. I think this is fun. And so yes, that was Big Sur, and then so all of them are really wonderful because it brings back so many wonderful memories.
And when you're traveling, do you ever come up with new ideas for both the brand and the store?
Yes, because, you know, like it's, you know, like gives me space also, you know, like to reflect, to think, to create, to, you know, and also of, and it helps thinking differently and be inspired.
Are there any moments in specific where you were traveling that you came up with the idea or concept for something?
Big Sur was really, when I arrived, you know, like, and I was on the cliff and looking, you know, like above the clouds, above the ocean.
Yeah.
I can tell you that was a breathtaking moment. And that was a moment that is like instilled in my head of, you know, like feeling also like leaving a burden behind, you know, like feeling like, you know, like this amazing, you know, when nature takes, you know, over and, you know, and you leave everything behind, you know, like I had this, you know, feeling also like going to Jackson Hole, you know, mm-hmm. like where I felt like nature was so incredible and so powerful and really like feeling so small, but at the same time feeling so empowered, you know, by nature.
Yeah. It's like those really cutting moments of clarity.
Exactly. Where, you know, like everything else leaves, you know, like everything.
Yeah, it recedes in the background. And then in a weird way, you're not maybe thinking about work specifically, but when you do get back, you have this newfound clarity and direction in the things that you do. Exactly what you describe. It's like the smallness and bigness of feeling like a part of something.
Exactly. And I think it's like, it's the pace. Also for me, it's the travel is the pace, you know, like, or I have another, you know, memory of being on the small, you know, like very, very slow boat, you know, with some of, you know, the people I cherish the most, you know, best friends in Mozambique. And, you know, like, and being, you know, for hours on, you know, on a boat and looking at the, landscape and the scenery and, you know, really, you know, having like peace, you know, peace of mind and calm. And especially I feel like, you know, like there was lots of times where I felt like a hamster on a wheel before, especially with the rhythm and all the travels and, you know, and all of that. And so having these very peaceful moments to reflect and, you know, being inspired.
What places have most inspired you in your long career of travel? I know it's a big list, but you can just pick one or two if you'd like.
I think, you know, like it's like, it might be like what, you know, like, I've been so blessed and so lucky because my parents love to travel also. So since a very young age, you know, we've, you know, always traveled. So I've been very blessed to go, you know, to a lot of places since a young age. And, you know, like I'm thinking of Mozambique or amazing places I've been to, in Africa and, you know, like, or like a trip that I took also in South Africa for Mothers to Mothers, which is an amazing organization and I'm, you know, an ambassador for. And like, that was such a, you know, inspiring trip. To, you know, like the time I spent, you know, in Asia and I spent a lot of time in China, you know, studying and, or, you know, also going to Southeast Asia. I mean, I could it's endless and so much more to come. I think a year of no travels. But even like just doing like a trip to Miami, you know, like is extremely, you know, exciting to
me. Yeah, I agree. It jolts you. I think just any change of landscape just allows you to see things from a fresh perspective, even if it's a place that you return to all the time.
Yes. And of course, Europe. And now like even going back to France and going back to Paris, you know, I see, you know, I was already seeing Paris like a provincial, you know, like people from outside of Paris, you know, provincials. So I was always looking at Paris like a provincial, like with very fresh eyes. And now like living abroad, you know, I'm like, I cannot be more in love with Paris and, you know, the architecture and the culture and Europe in general.
Yeah. So outside of the big metropolitan cities, what has been a really inspiring destination you visited for fashion?
For fashion, I think like fashion always, like it's like always in the back of my mind, but it's never as like a goal, or I don't see it like this. But I would say, you know, like of course Africa, you know, for, you know, like all the lights and the amazing, you know.
And I heard
the prince. Yeah, exactly. The prints are incredible. All the batiks and the, you know, but everywhere going to Asia. Like there was a wonderful trip also I took in Japan, going to, you know, to Kyoto, starting in Kyoto and then going to, you know, like small islands, you know, art islands, Naoshima. That's incredible, you know, with amazing art, collections. And then Tokyo, you know, like it's constant. You're bombarded, you know, with, wonderful, you know, inspirations. And then it stays in your, you know, it's imprint in your brain.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. Actually, now that you've shared that you've traveled extensively through Africa, I can totally see your love for prints.
Yes.
How have you been armchair traveling at this time?
You know, like first, like discovering, you know, Los Angeles, discovering, you know, like just from like discovering the, you know, the landscape, the, you know, like it was something new for me, like of not just coming for trips, but, you know, being grounded here and, you know, being able to go also for like in nature and hikes and, you know, and enjoying also the beaches here. And, you know, like it's like this has really been amazing source of inspirations for me, and being very close to nature, and that's been quite amazing. And then, you know, like, it's also like everything that I have in my mind and the memory, like, I have a very strong visual memory. So also, like, remembering all the trips that I've done, and I can tell you that the biggest trips that I've done was, you know, being with my children and seeing them growing so much. You know, I can tell you, like, every day is a different destination. I have a 1-year-old and a 7-year-old, and, you know, having them both, you know, 24/7, has been lots of trips, virtual trips.
Virtual trips. And what are some of the places you've discovered in Los Angeles recently that you've liked?
You know, I had never seen that before. The, you know, like the area, you know, next to, you know, Topanga, like a bit further there. There's the, you know, which actually is going to come back soon if it has not started. I haven't been, but last year I've been, you know, when you have all the poppy fields.
Yes, in Lancaster Valley. Yes, that's really beautiful.
It's incredible. And you have this bright orange, you know, like endless, you know, like on hills and everything. This is absolutely stunning. And, you know, I love the ocean.
Yeah.
I love the ocean. And for me, you know, things like, you know, like each time I, you know, I take a trip and I go and we go with the kids and bring them to the beach and, you know, like witnesses, you know, dolphins, you know, in the ocean, seeing, being able to see them from, you know, the beach, like, it's always so special to me.
Yeah. Being able to have access to the beach, it really changes you.
And the air and the waves and, you know, like, and feeling the salty, you know, breeze exactly, you know, on your skin. And, I mean, we are so blessed, you know, to be able to live here and enjoy this. And for our children also, you know, it helps so much.
What, I mean, one of the benefits of moving to Los Angeles is once you land there, there are so many incredible natural landscapes to discover and so many different biodiversities. It's like you're traveling within so many different ranges in minutes.
Yes, and the you know, like the nature, the flowers, the trees. I mean, everything grows so much. You know, like, it's like even in our house, like, I've always had, you know, plants, you know, in all our different houses. Like, right now, like, I have to push the ceiling for Hannah to grow here. I can almost see it in my own eye. Like, I can go to bed, like, it will be one length, and I wake up the next day and there's, like, more leaves and it's, like, further up. Like, it's incredible how, you know, like, and I don't have a green hand, you know, like, I'm not
good. It's just everything. Yeah. Your backyard, everything is thriving and abundant. That's wonderful.
Yes. And inside the house, it's really, really nice. With the lights.
Well, that, congratulations. I think that's such a wonderful, it sounds like a really great setup for quarantine.
Yes. Good timing. After all these years, that my husband, you know, tried, you know, to brainwash me, but not to say, I'm, you know, like, I, you know, I haven't forgotten about New York. I love New York.
Yeah, New York will always have a special place. Nothing replaces New York.
For sure. Nothing replaces New York. And I'm so happy that, you know, I have all my friends, you know, there, and, you know, and the Webster in Soho, and, you know, like, it's good excuses to visit.
So, Laura, one question I like to ask everyone before we sign off is, what is one place you look forward to visiting when the pandemic is over?
It's difficult to narrow it down. The first place I think about, like, is, I feel that, you know, I want to be, you know, reunited with my family in France. So really for me, what, you know, I'm looking forward is for, you know, all together, all of us to be able to be together. And it's, you know, usually in Corsica, in the summer. So that's really, you know, and it's so, you know, like, I get, you know, like, it's so resource, like it gives so much energy for me and for, you know, my children with being with all their cousins and with my parents. So, this is a place that I'm really longing to go back to. And after, like, I'm excited to discover new places I've, you know, never been. You know, like, you know, like the one destination, it's been like a friend of mine mentioned Jamaica recently, and I was like, oh, this seems so exciting. I've never been to Jamaica. I'm excited for any, you know, anywhere, like discovering new places, going back to the places where, you know, I feel so good, where I feel home. And, you know, like another place I think about is, you know, like I love Brazil and my godmother is Brazilian and she's from Rio. And actually the next destination for LHD is Rio. So, you know, I would love to visit Rio again.
Oh, that's a beautiful itinerary to plan for.
Thank you.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for letting me chat with you today. And I'm super excited to see all of the new things that the Webster has coming out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope we can, you know, travel together for real.
Thank you so much to Laura for joining us today on The Art of Travel. To follow along on Laura's adventures on Instagram, find her at The Webster or at LHD.
Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode on the Art of Travel podcast. Subscribe to the Art of Travel podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you may stream your favorite podcasts. The Art of Travel is created by Olivia Lopez, produced by Bon Weekender, edited by Jason Stewart, and music composed by Slow Shiver. We'll see you on Tuesday.